Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan Ritter. It's Wednesday night. I'm going to also record this so I can put it on my website. Normally, what I do on Wednesday nights is I normally just do an audio, and then I just post the MP3 player on my website. But the Holy Spirit kept tugging on me to post this. I wrote the sermon few days, and it's been really on my heart, and the thing is, you're these type of sermons are not being preached in churches. I listen to many sermons throughout the week. I keep track of a lot of local churches, because you know everybody's doing online, so, and man, I tell you, you wonder why the world's in bad shape. It's because of the pulpits. They need to open their Bible and read it. That's the problem here. There are all these little, yes, God's good. God is awesome. His mercy, His grace endures forever. His salvation is awesome. But you're getting these half-truths. Half-truths. And tonight, what I want to hit on is discipleship. It's not being preached in our pulpits. Because it's not comfortable, because I've been doing a lot of research, 150 years of us turning away from God, and now we're starting to suffer the consequences of it. And it seems like the church doesn't want to wake up. It's like they're asleep, and they keep replaying it over and over. Wake up, America churches! It's about to get real for you guys. And discipleship needs to be taught in our churches. And what I'm going to look at tonight is Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. We'll read, and I'll pray, and then we'll go into the message here. Luke 9, if you have your Bibles, verse 57 through 62. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Verse 60. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thy and preach the kingdom of God. And another said unto the Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Heavenly Fathers, we just come tonight, Lord, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just the strength, the Holy Spirit in preparing this sermon. Thank you, Lord, for the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do this message that's hard. It's a hard message, but this message has been neglected for many years, and now the church is suffering the consequences. 150 years taking God out of everything, and still taking God out of everything, and we remain silent while this is happening. And then we look around, we wonder what's going on. When we can't say the name of Jesus in our workplace or in our school. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know all those are suffering the hard times, the lost jobs. The suicide rates are increasing exponentially. The depression rates are increasing exponentially. Anxiety is increasing. It's all increasing. Many are taking their lives. that are not saved. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just be with us during this message, Lord, that you guide and you direct the words that you need me to say. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I don't know if, you know, as a child, some of you guys may be able to relate. You know, I was thinking about this message, and, you know, I might have been 3, 4, I can't remember, some time ago, right? I'm 40 now. And I was with my mom and my dad, and maybe in a store like Walmart, you know, and as a little child, you and even today, if you're watching children in stores, you know, I see items, a toy, candy, you know, whatever it may be. And, you know, they want it. They don't care how they can get it. They just give it to me. They want it, right? They want that candy bar or that toy or, and today it could be a cell phone, right? I can't see why little kids need cell phones. But I know me personally as a child thinking back, I didn't understand the difference on how much it costs, what that cost would to have that toy or that candy bar, and what the cost needed to be made for me to have it, right? I didn't understand my dad. He worked long, hard shifts at the factory to make a paycheck, and that paycheck through the hard labor, my dad went into his bank account, or he got it cashed out. You know, all that hard-earned money, right? It's because of that I could get that toy, that candy bar. And you remember when you could eat candy for like a quarter or 50 cents? I remember my mom buying me a candy bar for like a quarter. You couldn't get a candy bar now, I'm aware of, for a quarter. So there was a cost for me to have that toy, that candy bar. There's a cost for everything, right? If you're working long shifts, it's costing your time with your family. It's costing possible sleep, health, due to stress and anxiety, depending on what kind of work you are doing. If you're training for like a sport or planning to run a marathon or whatever it may look like, that costs time, right? It costs money. I did weightlifting when I was young and practiced martial arts, and I was on a strict diet. And when I was going to compete, I had a regimen of things and practicing exercises, and that was a daily kind of thing. So, you know, the eating and the sleeping, that's all important for my regimen as a training and lifting weights or going into a what they call a kumite or a match fight. And of course, you got the wear and tear on your body. I know I feel that today, the wear and tear on my body for all that heavy lifting and, you know, broken bones, my knees hurt more the older I get because all of that. I just want to encourage you guys. Can you think of one thing that does not cost you anything? You may come up with zero. There's a cost for everything. So why would discipleship be any different? Within this narrative, you see Jesus, there's three individuals, and if it helps you view these individuals, you can look at them possible candidates for discipleship. You can look at them as a possible interview for a possible job. Although we know serving and following God should be work. It is an honor to follow Him and let Him lead us wherever He wants to lead us, to reach a world in the need for the gospel. So we look at this first candidate, right? Luke 9, verse 57 through 58. Verse 57 says this, "And it came to pass that as they went into the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whensoever thou goest. Verse 58, and Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head." So here's the first potential follower of Jesus. And he said, "I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus." And, you know, Jesus is like, okay. And, you know, Jesus was a master storyteller. He was a master illustrator. And he uses foxes and birds here. He said the foxes have holes. What is a hole for a fox? It's a home. It's comfort. It's shelter, right? And birds have nests. That's also home and comfort and shelter and security. But the Son of Man, Jesus, has nowhere to lay his head. You will not hear messages preached in the pulpit on these verses much, because they'll preach the salvation and this grace and mercy, but I want to tell you, salvation and discipleship is not separate. They go together. They go together. Jesus is basically saying, I'm homeless on this earth. He presents this to the individual. Are you ready to have less than a fox or birds? Have you count the cost and what it may cost you to follow me in this world? I want to tell you, as the time draws near and closer, it hurts my heart. Because many professing Christians out there saying, I know Jesus, but they haven't realized, am I willing to give up everything for Jesus? When they're in the workplace and you mention Jesus and they hesitate just to say his name, devil has you fooled. If you can't confess him in a simple as a workplace, you think when it comes real one day, and that day is coming soon, where it may cost you something to say his name out loud. Are you okay with that? See, this is a real question. And this is a real question you need to ask yourself. Real conversations need to be had, because Jesus was about being real. And we need to be real. We need a boldness within the pulpit to say, have you counted the cross? Have you counted the cost? Are you willing to give it all up for Jesus? Are you prepared to be homeless one day if it means to reach the world with the gospel? Luke 14 verse 33 says this, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. That's Luke 14 verse 33. That is the word of God. That is what Jesus is saying. You cannot be my disciples. You're not willing to give it all for Jesus. You're not his disciple. You're not his. Let me be clear once I've clarified. Discipleship, salvation, they go together. They're not separate. There's false doctrines out there saying salvation is separate than discipleship. They go together. You can't have one without the other. You count the costs. Yes, it cost me my job. I accept it. Yes, it may cost me a life. I accept it. It may cost me my friendship with that person out there that is an unbeliever. I accept it. You're not sitting there swabbing SWAT and conforming to the world. See, the church today has conformed to the world. It has lost its power because it's too busy being worthy and less being holy. Jesus spoke more about holiness than he spoke on love. Look it up if you don't believe me. Salvation and discipleship, they go together. I don't care what your pastor says. I don't care what your evangelist said, your Bible teacher that's ingrained into your church so he can make you feel good about yourself. This feel-good gospel is going to end one day. And as much as it hurts my heart to know that, because many will turn away from the faith because they never were. That he is anyway, because they never counted the cost. Matthew 16 verse 24 says this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples. Once again he said to his disciples. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. See, when we look at that cross, that bloody stained cross, that our sweet Jesus, of no fault of his own, took because of a sin that we committed. Adam and Eve committed. No fault of his own, he took the cross. There's a cost. And you see, Jesus is being very clear here. Being his follower, being a true Christian in this world would cost you something. And if you don't think it's going to cost you nothing, or in your mind you're like, I ain't going to pay no cost, then you have fooled yourself. You have let Satan lie to you. Oh, you're being hard. I'm giving you straight scripture here, guys. It will cost you something. You have free will. You have free will. You have the choice to say, I am God's fully. I don't care what the cost is. Or you could say, you could keep playing church. And one day when that and the line is being drawn in the sand, you'll have to make a choice. You will have to make a choice. And then you have to make that choice. Am I truly following Jesus? Am I walking the walk in my life at work? Will people say, that is a man of God, other than, oh, I like him. He's a friendly person. Walk the walk. One day when that line is drawn in the sand, which is being drawn now, you will have to make a choice if you're going to truly follow Jesus into heaven. Are you a child of Satan and you're going to hell? This is your choice, not Jesus' choice. It's yours. Sad thing is, we don't know if this person, this first candidate, ever decided to follow Jesus. We pray that he did. To give up everything and say, I give you everything in my life to follow Jesus. It's important. If it costs your home, it costs your job, wherever it may cost, the cost. If you look at third world countries, in which I do, our brothers and sisters are suffering so much over there. But here in our comfortable America lifestyle, Christianity, this puke vomit, that this lukewarmness to blend into this world and not proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to come to an end one day. And you're going to be called out. And you'll have to make that choice. And I made my choice. The Holy Spirit prompted me to give this message tonight to those out there that are professing something their heart is not following. As we look at the next candidate here, Luke 9, that's the chapter we're in, verse 29 through 60. It says this, said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thy and preach the kingdom of God. This guy here is saying, Jesus, let me just go bury my father. And some people will say, this is harsh. Why would Jesus say no? Jesus said, no, go forward and preach the kingdom of God. That is more important. Before we get bent out shape like a Twizzler, Jesus was not saying, go to the funeral. See, his dead in that day would still be alive. He said, let me care for my dad until he dies. And of course, we don't know the age of his father, but the reality could have been years before his father's death. We just need to take this as an excuse. He did not want to follow Jesus, so he used his father as an excuse not to follow Jesus. When it comes to the kingdom, God, it's very important to not make excuses for doing the work that God has laid on your heart. It may be at work. It may be at Walmart. It may be at the supermarket. It could be a gas station. See, as children of God, we should have a fire burning in our heart, a passion to go tell someone about Jesus. We should be on our knees daily saying, Lord, give me somebody else to tell about Jesus. Sad truth is, I hope it's not true, many step out that door not even wanting to tell anybody about Jesus. Other than, Lord, get me through this day. And I pray that too. I want the Lord to get me through the day. But I also pray, Lord, let me tell somebody about Jesus. I don't care what it costs me. Do you pray like that? Luke 14, verse 26 through 27 says this. If any man come to me, and that's Jesus, right? And he hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, his sister, yea, and his own life also. The word of God here says he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever do not bear his cross, there's that cross again, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. What's Jesus saying? He said, I am more important than your father. I am more important than your mother. I am more important than your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters. Your life should reflect more of me and less of your father, less of your mother, less of your wife. And you could flip that around and say, less of your husband, less of your child or children, your brothers or brothers or sisters or sisters. Less of this world, right? Man, when you look at this world, one thing I guess is sad with this whole COVID-19, but one thing it has done is it's eliminated quite a bit of pagan worship. Of course, I'm sure more people are ready to get back to their pagan worship, their football teams and your baseball teams. Watching, going to the theater and watching movies and valuing that more than getting on your knees and praying that God provides a revival, a true revival, where hearts are truly on fire and burning. To wherever the cost, Lord, I will go out there. The sad thing is this New Day Christianity. Say this little prayer. Oh, it'll be all right. Just say this little prayer and you'll be okay. We need to say, hey, once you say that, if you want to be God's, you got to realize there's a cost. There's a cost to discipleship. When you're following Jesus, there's this cross that you have to bear. This bloody cross that you have to bear daily. And I'll tell you, this world is Satan's world. God created it, but after the curse, it became Satan's world. Jesus tells us not to love the world. That is God's word. Why I see so many people loving this world, loving the things of this world more than the things of God, and these are professing Christians. And then we look around, and they're like, what's going on? Satan really got you that blind. Maybe this is a wake-up call tonight to open your eyes and realize this plain Christianity is going to end. And not to get political, if the Democrats get in, and I hope, I pray they don't, that stick will be drawn in the sand and... You know, maybe it'll be a good thing. At least now, When that line is drawn in the sand, they said, hey, you can't preach on homosexuality. We're going to throw you in jail. At least I'll truly know who my brothers and sisters are, because they will stand right with me and say, we're not going to hush. God says it's a sin, is a sin. Throw me in jail. And then those are like, oh, okay, I won't talk about it now. I'll be really quiet. You are a child of Satan. You can repent, of course, as long as you have a breath in your body. Maybe if that happens, you'll realize. Even Peter was like that. He denied Christ 3 times, but then he repented. As long as you have time to repent and God don't strike you dead right where you're at for that. This is Satan world. And Jesus tells us not the world to love this world, not be part of this world. What God wants us to do, we need to follow His direction. If you look at Galatians 5, 16 through 25, it says this. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another. So ye cannot do the things that ye would. And then, of course, it goes on and on and on. But we need to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. So, Jesus tells us to forsake all and follow Him. Are we walking today more in the flesh and less in the Spirit? We need to ask those serious questions. Does my heart burn for a passion for Jesus? Some will say I'm radical. I'll tell you. You know who was radical? John the Baptist. You know who was radical? Peter. You know who was radical? Paul. Who was the most extreme radical of anybody in the Bible? Jesus Christ. It's very important for us to get in the Word of God every day. Make a life our prayer. Pray throughout the day. Pray in the morning. Pray in the evening. Pray at night. Pray without ceasing. And pray with a passion and a fire. And say, Lord, use me wherever you need. I don't care what the cost is. Use me. When we look at this final candidate here for discipleship, you see Luke 9, verse 61 through 62 here. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at the home at my house. And Jesus said to him, no man hath put his hand to the plow and look it back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, they said, wait a minute. Maybe I should add some love in there to help you out. Oh, no, they ain't in there. He said, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. Every time I read this, I can just picture the man kind of trying to get out of there, run as fast as he can from Jesus. Because, man, this is hard. This is hard sayings. I ain't used to this. What are you telling me, Jesus? And the man's like, let me go home, man. I'll say goodbye. And once again, another excuse after excuse, right? And Jesus gives this illustration. No man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't know if you guys ever seen a plow. I don't know if you've seen a movie with a plow, the old looking plows. On today's age, you can look up articles, and of course you can YouTube it. And you know, I was trying to write how to really describe this this type of kind of forming. It's hard to really describe, but I'm going to try to do my best here. So you have a horse, and it has a horse can this horse can have a harness kind of. I lost connection there. There's the devil trying to do his thing. knowing I'm preaching the truth. That's all I know. So hopefully I can finish this up. I also have my recording right here recording it. So I'm putting it on my website. I figured the devil would try to do his best to take this off. And Facebook may remove it for it. But hopefully this will reach whoever needs to hear it. And yeah, a horse, animal attached to a harness. That's a kind of like a metal device that... I don't know if you guys are familiar, like a Harley Davidson bike, you know, where you have the handles really up high. You can kind of picture that and kind of put yourself in the middle of that Harley, but standing up, and you got like two little handles coming up, and you got that harness running across and on that horse or that donkey, and you have the straps to control. I won't say a horse in this case, and you yank on the straps, and you got the little handle thing, and you're controlling that horse, and you're controlling the metal thing that's digging into the ground to plow that ground. And see, this is very important that person, when they're plowing, that they keep their eyes straight ahead, because when they start looking back, you start seeing that they'll start swaying back and forth. And they'll, instead of plowing a straight line, now it's a crooked line. You see, Jesus wants us to keep our eyes on him and not look back. And when I say don't look back, I mean, you know, we can give our testimony. Alone is glorifying God, saying, I once was this, and he brought me out. But here, what Jesus is saying is looking back, saying, oh, I wish I had that old life. Oh, how I desire that old life. Oh, I wish I could. You know, I once was an alcoholic. So for me, it'd be, oh, I wish I could have a six pack right now and just be drinking. You know, I used to be addicted to pornography, and I wish I could be drinking a beer and watching pornography. No, I don't wish that. I want my eyes firmly placed on Jesus. You see, when we start looking back, not my words, but Jesus, he tells us we're unfit for the kingdom of God. We're unfit for the kingdom of God. So God is looking for children that will plow straight, that will not look back, wanting nothing of this world, not desiring the money and the trinkets of this world. Oh, I wish I could get a new truck. Oh, I wish I could get a new car. Oh, I wish I could get a new boat. How about saying, I wish I could save my money up to go to Africa and preach the gospel. Lord, provide the means for me to reach or go on a missionary trip or start a website up or do a blog up or write a book. Take time from work off work to write a book about Jesus. You see, Paul puts it this way in Philippians 3:13-14. Brother, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is the point. Brothers and sisters, I want to make it really clear. And I want to leave you with this kind of end thought. The cost of discipleship is high. Do not fool yourself. Don't think it's not. It will demand all we have to give. And God sees your heart as he sees or saw these three individuals. He already knows what they're going on inside you. He knows what you're thinking right now when you're hearing this message. I do not sugarcoat the cost. And Jesus didn't sugarcoat the cost. You'll see when he has crowds, he would say the harder things. He wasn't about attracting crowds. He wasn't about making friends. I call the friendship professing Christianity crowd. Oh, let's all be friends. Oh, let's all get along. Oh, love, 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 love. Yeah, it's about love. It's also about discipleship. going one day it's going to cost you to say the name of Jesus. And that point in time, are you going to step and say, I am a follower of Jesus? I don't care what the cost is. But when I'm speaking and in your heart, you're like, oh no. I want to tell you, brother or sister, if you're having those thoughts, you need to get on your knees right now or wherever you're at and repent and pray that you have a heart to be a true disciple for Jesus, because within the true discipleship is true salvation. Half-hearted lukewarmness is not, that is today's Christianity. And what does Jesus tells us? You neither hot or cold, lukewarm. I will spit you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my mouth. He will reject you. You never was his from the beginning. And if you look at Matthew 7, through some of them verses hurt me. Well, look at them. It speaks of the wide way and the narrow way. And Jesus says many will go down that wide way. And that's going to happen. There will be only a few that will go down that narrow and that straight path. I can't remember how the numbers are in America on who professes to be a Christian. I think it's like 80%, maybe less than that. I guarantee you not 80% is going down that narrow path. They want that wide path. Joel Osteen Church, one of the biggest biggest churches in America, millions. That should tell you the mindset of America church. One of the biggest congregation. He don't preach on hell. He don't preach on sin. He says there's many ways to get to heaven. He's been quoted, and you can Google the videos and see that. And people are buying it. We're in trouble. I do not sugarcoat the cost. And Jesus doesn't sugarcoat the cost. Picking up your bloody cross and carrying it daily. Jesus tells us there's a cost. You have to count the cost. This cost could involve you being homeless in your life sometime. This cost could be leaving the comfort of your home, your family, to reach the world with the gospel. Quitting your job if it's in the cars. Do not fool yourself. There is a cost to follow Jesus. He wants all of you, not part-time. When you come home from work, do you desire to open the Word of God and study for hours, hours? When you come home from work, do you have desire and passion to listen, worship music, and pray for hours and hours? These are questions that we need to examine ourselves. The days are getting close. This lukewarm Christianity, this modern Christianity that has engulfed this world, that's why you got all of this wickedness going on. That's why you have the Hallmark Channel openly doing homosexual marriages. That's why you have the Disney Channel. I want to tell you guys, you support Disney. You support demonic worship. You give your money to Disney, you are practicing Satanism. They are taking our children and we're handing them to them. Here, take them. Oh, let's watch Frozen. Oh, how cute. Oh, they're using witchcraft and sorcery. Oh, here's Harry Potter. Oh, witchcraft. You're giving your children to them. And don't expect when they get older, they go off doing some crazy stuff. You won't hear that in most pulpits. You won't. Because they're afraid they'll offend somebody. People need to get offended today. It's wrapping up. It's getting close. Jesus wants you. He don't want your part-time. He wants a full-time Christian. Lost video again. So I lost video again. I'm trying to do this. And if you guys are listening to this recording, I'm trying to do this also on Facebook too. I don't normally, I'm losing video. I'm trying to get this done with. I normally do this on just post it Wednesday night as an MP3 player. I just felt led to give this message on Facebook tonight, so I don't know. But I don't know if you know, if day or if you're working night shift or home with your children, but I want to ask you, do you have a passion, fire to reach others around you with the gospel? Throughout your day and night, or you desire to worship and pray without ceasing? Ask yourself in your heart and ask yourself, have you truly counted the cost and willing to give it all to Jesus, regardless what it may look like? You may say no, and you say, I'm going to fake it. This discipleship is not what I want. Jesus tells you, you're not his disciple if you're not his. Not my words, but the words of God. If you're not his, then you are part of the world. You're part of Satan's kingdom. You will have free will, and this message reflect what the Bible says, not what Jonathan Ritter says. In the end, will you make that decision? Will you have to answer that decision one day when Jesus comes back? If you die before the rapture, or you die tonight? I'm just a messenger of God. That's all I am. I'm nobody. I only provide what God laid on my heart tonight to proclaim. Chips will lay where they fall. And I'm sorry this video is kicking out. If you want to hear the full recording, go on my website. I'll try to have it posted tonight for you guys. Love you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, just thanking you for your message. Thank you for just being here. Thank you for just whoever out there needs to hear this, Lord. I pray that it reaches their heart, their ears, that they count the costs. They don't buy into this feel-good message, salvation. Nothing's going to cost you. No, you don't have to be a disciple. You don't have to be a soldier for Jesus. Lies. Lord, I pray that you just be with us throughout the rest of the week, Lord. You guide and you direct our steps. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Here, let me stop.